Welcome back to the 312 show. This is episode 13. You can find this episode and all our other episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Just click the link in the Instagram bio at the 312 show and it'll take you there. We got a very special episode today. We got our guy, co-host Ollie Katz, back in the lab. What's up, Al?
It's great to be back after my hiatus. All I got to say is we got some great content coming out for you guys. And, you know, all I can say is it's great to be back on the mics.
Yeah, for sure. So I think we should get right into it. We got some sports news coming out. Obviously, you know, a guy that's been very popular as of recently, the San Diego Padres shortstop, Fernando Tatis Jr. Ollie, what do you think about this guy?
All right. This is the greatest baseball streak that I think I've ever seen by a singular player. He's ridiculous. He's leading the MLB in all four major categories. That is unheard of. And it's been going on for like 10 games.
Yeah, I mean,
he's so consistent throughout the season. And if he keeps anything close to what he's doing right now up, he is going to win MVP by a landslide, maybe even unanimously.
Yeah, and I think he's a guy like Mike Trout. On the field, he's amazing. Off the field, he's amazing. He apologized for swinging at a 3-0 pitch with bases loaded, up 7 runs. I mean, people were complaining that that's an unwritten rule, don't swing on 3-0, whatever. If you don't want them to swing on 3-0, don't throw them a 3-0 fastball down the middle. Right?
That's true. That's true. He's reinventing the game of baseball.
Yeah.
That's all you can say about him. I mean, okay, here are his stats, okay? Currently, he has 12 home runs. He's batting 317. He has 33 hits, and he's doing insane. He's got 29 RBIs already. He has a almost 400 on base percentage. Now, if you look at the current state of baseball, people are talking less and less about average and more about on base percentage because baseball is turning into a game of efficiency. Baseball is turning into a game of efficiency, not overall average. If you can play well and you can get on base, you are going to be widely considered one of the best players in the league. And yeah. I think he is the perfect guy.
And also on the entertainment side.
He's slugging 731.
Yeah. It's all about the home run ball now. Guys like him, Tim Anderson, Javi Baez, you know, Francisco Lindor, all those guys are just bringing a new wave of baseball, new kind of swag, and, like, making it cool to play baseball. I mean, as a baseball player, I know all my friends and I look up to these guys. You know, we're seeing Fernando Tatis, you know, hitting dingers, pimping them, you know. It makes it such a fun sport to watch. And baseball needs it right now, especially.
Absolutely. I think sports is as much of an unfortunate situation as we're in right now, sports is among the best it's ever been. And I'm confidently saying that.
60-game season baseball, it's been amazing.
The reason I'm saying that is if you look at sheer talent that some of the athletes of our generation are starting to develop, it is unprecedented. Right now in the National Basketball Association, we have 10 of the top 50 players of all time playing at one time. I can confidently state that. That is insane.
Yep. I would argue probably more.
You could be right.
Yeah.
And they're all playing in one singular bubble, all competing. And even when one could argue it doesn't really matter, everybody's competing. And that is so amazing to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, this bubble has been great. You know, some people have been leaving, but, you know, for personal reasons. But I think it's been a great success. And back to baseball, this 60-game season, I've been more invested in this baseball this year than I have ever. Because, you know, every game counts. Every game's like three games. And as a Cubs fan, I'm loving it right now. We got a series coming up against the Sox. That should be a fun one. We need those games. You know, the Sox are on a hot streak right now, but
all right. I'm going to do a little segment here. And let's discuss this year's NBA bubble playoff bracket. Okay, I'm going to read off the individual matchups and let's comment on them and, you know, predict who's going to win, what's going to happen. All right? Sound good?
Yep.
All right. So we'll start in the West. First seeded Los Angeles Lakers up against the eighth seeded Portland Trail Blazers. What are your thoughts?
So Portland took game one and, you know, they're playing their first game tonight. This episode will probably come out tomorrow. So we'll see by then. But, you know, honestly, I don't want to see the Lakers advance. I want to see Portland. But it's just hard to bet against Anthony Davis and LeBron James, you know. I mean, what do you think? I think this is a tough one for me. All right, just because.
Okay. Here's where I am gonna probably make a hot take. I think the Blazers will not win another playoff game this year. I think Anthony Davis and LeBron James will not physically let their team lose.
Yeah.
They're too good, too fast, and too strong. Anthony Davis and LeBron James are so unbelievably good respectively and together that they cannot be beaten by Damian Lillard more than once.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I mean, that's
the side
of it.
Trailblazers are an excellent story and have some good things coming. If they make the right moves this offseason, they're not going to win another game.
Yeah. What's the next matchup?
Okay, so next in the West, we have fourth-seeded Rockets versus fifth-seeded Oklahoma City Thunder.
Rockets, they're winning without James Harden, or they're winning without Russell Westbrook. I mean, that's a no-brainer for me. No-brainer for me.
Okay. Now that we read off these two matchups, there have been two names that have just emerged. There's been James Harden for the Rockets, and there's been Damian Lillard for the Trail Blazers. Now, if you talk about people who are leading their team during the bubble, these are the two guys that comes up. And then you could throw on like a Luka Doncic, but these guys are insane. Watching them is fantastic. The Thunder-Rockets game just finished. The Rockets won 111-98. James Harden had kind of an off day with only dropping 21 points, but he had 9 assists.
Yeah. I mean, 21 points, I mean, that's not that bad. As long as what was his plus minus?
I believe let me see.
I'm interested in that.
But in the meantime, who do you think is performing better?
Harden or Lillard?
Yeah.
I think I got to give it to Lillard just because he has less of a supporting cast. I guess you can say. Yeah, I think Lillard, just because he makes everyone better. You know? Just his ability to like.
But, okay, let me propose this theory. Damian Lillard is surrounded by solid guys. He has CJ McCollum, Nurk, and then he has all these other good, solid role players around him like Carmelo Anthony, Hassan Whiteside, all respectively very solid players that can support him as a fantastic basketball player. However, James Harden has been dominating all the competition with no one. Russell Westbrook has been hurt. And other than that, Houston is a team of absolute scrubs. Houston?
Yeah, they have no,
right
they have
now,
no big man.
Being carried by James Harden. Houston right now, being carried by James Harden, looks like the 2018 Cleveland Cavaliers being carried by LeBron. They are such a bad team, just being absolutely carried to a 2-0 lead in a series. And that's why I think that Harden, while he might not be outperforming Damian, he's much more efficient, and he's just an overall more effective basketball player.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. Hopefully we get the that matchup, you know.
That'd be insane.
I'd like to see a little, I would love that. I think I'd give that series to the Blazers, though. I mean,
by the way, I looked it up. Harden's plus minus was 18.
For this last game?
For the bubble.
Oh, but for that last game, what I was looking at was it's minus one.
They have not released his plus minus. Oh, it's minus one?
Minus one, yeah.
Got it. So it was an off night.
Yeah, he still led the team in points.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, which is crazy because it's an off night for him still, but.
Yeah. Well, that just goes to show.
His player prop was 38 points.
Wow.
38. That's absurd.
Okay, let's move on. We have the Nuggets versus the Jazz. What are your thoughts?
You know, the Nuggets were my dark horse pick to win the title. You know, Jokic is one of my favorite players right now, if not my favorite player.
Yeah, but here's the thing with the Nuggets. If they end up beating the Jazz, which I think is the most likely scenario for them, I do think that they will beat the Jazz. They have to either face the Clippers or the Mavericks to get into the Western Conference Final. At that point, they would have to face the Lakers, Blazers, or the Rockets. Yeah. Thunder's not winning.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying for this series. Yeah, they have a tough. Yeah. They're an exciting team to watch, though. Yeah.
Okay, Jazz next are also up, really last match. Yeah, Donovan Mitchell went off.
Yeah.
57 points. In the first game, and
what was his plus minus in that game?
It was probably like over 45.
Plus,
it was insane.
No,
yeah, I would say maybe.
I'm gonna find it. What do you think it was?
45 is a little steep. I'm gonna say over 30.
Over 30.
Between
30 right, we'll
and
see.
40. Between 30 and 40.
I'm checking this. I think it may be even minus. The first game?
Yes, first game of the series. While you're searching that up, I'm going to move on. Clippers versus Mavericks. I think the Mavericks are going to win. I have a weird feeling.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic is so unbelievably good. He is either getting fouled or getting inside for an easy shot on every single possession. And when he's not doing that, he's passing the ball or popping out for a wide open three. It's insane to watch. And yeah, while Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are having great series, obviously George coming off an off night, I really can't see Luka being outplayed right now, especially how their last game looked against the Clippers when they won.
I'm thinking about this series as much as I would want to see the Mavericks. I'm thinking about this series kind of like what you're thinking about with the Lakers. You know, it's just hard to see Kawhi and Paul George not able to do like to – through. And they have a squad too. Lou Will, Patrick Beverly. Really, I mean, how do you lose to this Mavericks team? You know?
I think it's a strong possibility.
Donovan Mitchell's plus minus was minus 11 in that game.
What?
Yeah, points don't matter. Points, because you could score 57 points, but they could score every time you score. No, but they could score every time you score. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Wow. Minus 11?
It was a selfish 57.
Oh, my. Jeez.
So when he was on the court, they lost by 11.
Wow. I thought they were winning for the majority of the game.
I mean, they lost by 10.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they lost by 10. But that could also include, like, you know, they do the free throws at the end, which will be our next topic, actually. Before we get into the East, I want to do this. The NBA needs to change their fourth quarter under 2 minutes thing. It's 30 minutes. It's horrible as a fan to watch. The timeouts, the free throws. There needs to be, like they did in the All-Star game, a target score. Viewership will go up so much more. Look at that All-Star game. That All-Star game was so, so intense, so fun to watch. They need to add, what 2 minutes left in the game, or 5 minutes left in the game, add 20 points to the leader's score, and that's your target score. And get to that, but you win.
I think there's a more efficient way to do it. Just say, like, no double bonus, one and one sort of thing. Maybe something like that.
Yeah, but then there's no way to kill clock.
That's true.
If you get rid of, like, the double bonus thing. I'm not really
sure how they would do it. And I think making a target score would just make it an incohesive game of basketball and feel like kind of not real basketball. But I do agree with you.
Yeah, it would be so much fun to watch. Okay. That All-Star game was crazy. Yep.
Let's move on to the East. Bucks Magic.
Bucks. That first game, you know.
There's no way Giannis is losing.
Yeah, let's check the score right now, actually. Let's give a little.
It's 25-13 at the end of the first.
All right.
Yeah. Giannis currently has 7 points and 8 rebounds after the first quarter.
He's unstoppable. That's insane. That first game was a fluke. It's fine.
But he still played insane.
I know. It's crazy. All right, who's next?
It's Pacers Heat. I'm going to take the Pacers.
The Pacers, they're down 2-0.
I know. I think they can battle back.
You know, I watched that game today. You know, there is just no one on that Pacers squad that can do it. The Heat, I mean, Duncan
Not even
Robinson,
Victor Oladipo, he had 22
no,
points.
No, I thought that's not enough, though. Look at all these other star players putting up huge numbers in their games. You know?
That's true.
They don't have that guy that can get them there. If Paul George was still on the Pacers, yeah. But
here's my take.
It's just the Heat are so evenly, like, if you look at their stat line,
their team is great. I mean,
across the board, like, Bam had 7 points, Butler had 18, Crowder had 10, Dragic had 20, Duncan Robinson had 24, and their bench scored Their bench put up more than 5 points, except for Derrick Jones Jr. I mean, that's a consistent. I don't know how you're gonna beat that.
Here's what I'm thinking. Jimmy Butler looks absolutely fantastic right now. It's unreal. He's having a resurgence. Jimmy Butler is taking over, whether you like it or not. Obviously, he did not have a very insane game today. Only he's scoring 18 points. But he spaces the floor like no other player I've seen in a while. He slows them down perfectly to the point where they can still keep the pressure on, but they can get good shots, and he's playing ridiculously well.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler.
Go ahead.
I would just say Jimmy Butler would for sure make all playoff first team.
Yeah.
If that was a thing.
And also – you know, Adebayo, he scored 7 points, but his plus minus was plus 19, the highest on the team.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Butler, he's a great defender.
Butler had the second with 12, plus 12. I mean, that's crazy. That, you know, you just need guys that can affect the game positively. Like, he's kind of like a Dennis Rodman, you know. All right.
That's absolutely right.
Next series.
Okay, last two matchups, Celtics-Sixers. Celtics are going to sweep.
Yep.
And it's so disappointing. The 76ers are so unbelievably good on paper. But the Celtics they're playing great basketball.
Yeah. I mean, you saw Embiid's face yesterday. You saw his reaction. It's just not good for the Sixers right now. Definitely. Tatum's playing amazing. You know, the Celtics just look amazing.
Yeah, I think they're solid Eastern Conference Finals push, if not finals.
Yeah, that would be exciting.
Okay, last rent matchup. It's Raptors-Nets. This is interesting.
Yeah.
I think the Raptors will win. But, yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Joel Embiid is seen with his hands on his knees, like, countless times throughout the game.
Look at Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook has been enthusiastic the whole game every time. I mean, but let's – Nets-Raptors. Let's hear it.
I got the Raptors. I got to go with the Raptors.
Yeah, the Raptors are so underrated. It's unbelievable. You know, the Raptors.
Yeah. I mean, they are a two seed with no clear superstar. Yes, they have Siakam. Yes, they have Lowry. But those guys have not elevated their game to the point where it's just they're too good yet. They have the possibility – right now in the postseason, Fred VanVleet has been averaging 27 points. Siakam with 8.5 rebounds. VanVleet with 10.5 assists.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I mean,
VanVleet is so good.
Yeah, the team across the board. It's like the, you know, who were we talking about last matchup?
It's the Raptors and the Nets.
No, the one before that.
Oh, previously it was Sixers versus Celtics.
Yeah, it's just like a Celtics team or one of the other teams before. It's just across the board such a great team, you know, or like the Heat, you know, across the board, everyone's good. It's a phenomenal team.
Okay. Well, we just debriefed the postseason first round. I would like to kind of stay the same. Tonight is the NBA draft lottery.
Yep. You think the Bulls going to get some luck tonight?
Here's what I think is going to happen. Golden State's going to get the first pick. Golden State has the number one odds at 14% to get top three. They have a 40.1% chance. Cleveland has the same at 40%
chance. Wow.
As does Minnesota. Okay, here's how I think it's going to go. I think those three teams, one of them is going to get the first pick.
Yeah.
I think
hopefully the Bulls.
I think the Bulls have the seventh best odds. They have a 7.5% chance at the first and a 23% chance in the top three. They could statistically sneak in for like a third or a second, but I think first is too far out of their reach, especially with their luck.
Yeah.
Their average pick is sixth.
Yeah. It's just, well, it also matters who you draft, and we haven't drafted the best guys. Honestly,
that's true.
I hate Lauri Markkanen. Dude sucks.
The Bulls could be on a turnaround, obviously, with the firing of Jim Boylan.
I love our new GM.
House. Yeah.
Yeah. They said they're going to look for trades for LaVine and Markkanen. I hope they don't trade LaVine. But, you know, get that superstar player that we were talking about. And I think that guy and LaVine have a shot at it.
As a Bulls fan, if you sneak into maybe the fifth pick and you guys get like an Obi Toppin, I would be overjoyed as a Bulls fan.
Yeah, fine with that. Fine with that. I mean,
Obi Toppin is going to be good.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys that, you know, I can't believe he's not a top. Well, I mean, the guys in the top three, we got LaMelo Ball, James Wiseman, and the Anthony Edwards. Those are the top three picks.
LaMelo Ball.
It's a good draft class.
I'll say it once and I'll say it again. LaMelo Ball is the most talented player in this draft class.
Yeah, 100%.
His playing style is so unbelievably good. He can shoot, he can pass, he's fast, and he's 6'8". He is the makings of a phenomenal NBA player.
And he's got great IQ, great playmaking ability too.
He has 2 years of professional basketball under his belt.
Well,
nobody else
in this draft playing class against like high school talent in Lithuania.
It's still. And Australia with guys like RJ Hampton and stuff. But the guy who would be second in that running would be Denny Avdija.
Oh, I love that guy.
And to be honest, as much as he's a great player, I don't know if he's NBA ready.
He's NBA ready.
On the other hand, 2 years ago, we were saying the same thing about Luka Doncic, and look at him now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do I think that LaMelo Ball will go first overall? No, I don't.
Really?
I don't.
Well, it depends what team.
If Golden State was the number one, gets the first pick, they will take Anthony Edwards. I think.
Yeah.
While LaMelo Ball can play forward, which is what their team so desperately needs, they're in search of a big man. And so Cavaliers.
But why not Wiseman?
Because I think Wiseman is going to go third or fourth.
All right.
I think Wiseman's too much of a reach. I think if you're talking about sure shot, good players, Melo and Anthony Edwards are a lock in top two. It's the question of where they're going to go, and that will be determined after tonight when we see who gets the first and second pick.
And now drafting rookies now, like now the expectation is if you're a top five pick, you come in and dominate. Look at Trae Young, look at Doncic, look at all these guys, you know.
Ja Morant. Yep, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
It's going to be exciting for sure.
What else you got?
You know, I think before we end it, just want to talk about, you know, Trevor Bauer. He wasn't allowed to wear the free Joe Kelly cleats. The guy that, you know, he didn't try to hit. I don't know. He got wrongfully suspended. But, you know, Trevor Bauer's the man. He's another guy that, you know, like a Fernando Tatis. Like a guy that's just going to helps the MLB so much. You know, he's a funny guy. He's got the YouTube channel and everything. Huge, huge props to him. You know, I think it's just funny. And then he sent a tweet to Springer and said, or Correa and said, you can buy, I'll send you these cleats. I just thought that was funny.
That sucked. What happened with that? That sucked. I can understand that the MLB does not want necessarily any controversy to be started over one of their star players expressing his personal opinion on a political issue, but that it sucks. That would not happen in the NBA, and that is why it's a little off-putting to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. This has been a great episode. We got Ollie Katz back. Make sure to keep tuning in. We got big things planned for the 312 show. Check us out on Instagram at the 312 show. We are also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and now YouTube. Go subscribe and like those videos on YouTube. Thanks for listening. This has been the 312 show. Peace out.